Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Paramsiko Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Sri Gaura Bhaktarinda Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktarinda Ki Jai, Kora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sisi Guru and Gauranga. So this evening, we are reading in the Bhagavad Gita as it is. In text number, chapter 17, titled The Divisions of Faith. And this is the second to last chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. And we're in the last verse, text 28. Correct? Got it right, okay. We don't have it to chant or anything, huh? Or is it? Is it there? Yeah, yeah, okay, okay. So we'll chant it. So first you say each word after me, okay? Ashraddhaya
Ashraddhaya
Utam
Utam
Dattam
Dattam
Tapas
Tapas
Taptam
Taptam
Krittam
Krittam
Cha
Cha
Yat
Yat
Asad
Asad
Iti
Iti
Uchate
Uchate
Parta
Parta
Na
Na
Cha
Cha
Tat
Tat
Precha,
Precha,
no,
no,
Iha,
Iha.
Ashada, excuse me, Ashadaya Hutam Dattam,
Ashadaya Hutam Dattam,
Tapas Taptam Kritam Shayat,
Tapas Taptam Kritam Shayat,
Asad Iti Uchyate Partha,
Asad Iti Uchyate Partha,
Not Na cha tat pretya no iha
Na cha tat pretya no iha
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Tapas taptam
kritam Asaditi ucchate partha
Asaditi ucchate partha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Asaditi ucchate partha
Asaditi ucchate partha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Ashraddhaya utam dattam
Tapas taptam
kritam chayat Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Asad iti ucchate partha
Asad iti ucchate partha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Ashraddhaya utam dattam
Ashraddhaya utam dattam
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Asat iti ucchate partha
Asat iti ucchate partha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Na cha tat pritya no iha
Ashraddhaya utam dattam
Ashraddhaya utam dattam
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Asat iti ucchate partha
Asat iti ucchate partha
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Tapas taptam kritam chayat
Asat iti ucchate partha
Asat iti ucchate partha
Chatat prijano hiha
Nachatat prijano hiha
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam
Tapastaptam kritam
chayat
Asaditi ucchate partha
Nachatat pritya no iha
Ashraddhaya
Without faith
Hutam
Offered in sacrifice.
Offered in sacrifice.
Dattam.
Dattam.
Given.
Given.
Tapaha.
Tapaha.
Excuse me.
Penance.
Taptam.
Taptam.
Executed.
Executed.
Kritam.
Kritam.
Performed.
Performed.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Yat.
Yat.
That which.
That which.
Asat.
Asat.
False.
False.
Iti,
thus,
ucchate,
is said to be,
partha,
O son of
Pritha,
na,
never,
cha,
also.
Also.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Prajna.
Prajna.
After death.
After death.
Na'u.
Na'u.
Nor.
Nor.
Iha. In this life.
In this life.
Translation. Anything done as a sacrifice, charity, or penance, without faith in the Supreme, O son of Britta, is impermanent. It is called asat, and is useless both in this life and the next. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity, or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is stressed that devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. This same point is summarized. Oh, I read. Oh, sorry. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared. I turned two pages. Is declared that such activities are abominable. Everything should be done for the Supreme in Krishna consciousness without such faith and without the proper guidance. There can never be any fruit. In all the Vedic scriptures, faith in the Supreme is advised. In the pursuit of all Vedic instructions, the ultimate goal is the understanding of Krishna. No one can obtain success without following this principle. Therefore, the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping demigods, ghosts, or yakshas like Kubera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance, but one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one by the association of pure devotees takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. And that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures in course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. That is the message of this 17th chapter. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the matter of the divisions of faith. Nama Om Vishnu Upadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschacha De Satarini Omangyan Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakra chaksur militam jinam tasmai sri gurave namaha panchakalpa trupyascha kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So in this chapter there's first of all been a discussion against about these three things that are mentioned here: hutam, dattam, tapa. Hutam, sacrifice; dattam, to give, giving in charity. So sacrifice, charity, tapaha, penance or austerity. Earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says these three things should never be given up, but they should be done for the sake of the Supreme. And here it says people who are doing sacrifice and charity and penance, but it's performed without faith in the stream, in the Supreme. The word here is Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Without faith in the Supreme, but for some other reason, it says here is asat. It is called asat. And you see in the text it says asat iti. Iti in Sanskrit means thus. But it functions like a quotation mark, putting before it whatever was before iti. There's no punctuation marks in Sanskrit except one, the danda at the end of a line, so there's no quotation mark. So when something is being quoted, iti, at the end, usually you can tell when it begins. Sometimes there's a dispute when it actually begins. So this means that is called asat. Which here he translates as several things in the word for word. And all these are different correct translations of asat. In the word for word that we recited, false. Asat is false. In the translation here, impermanent. And then in the purport, he says abominable. Horrible, terrible, awful. Because sat can mean real, and therefore whatever is unreal is also true. It means true, yeah, and then false, real, unreal, good, bad. Useful, useless, and so on, like that. So, all these things are there. So this asat. If it is done for some reason other than to attain to serve Krishna, or to attain Krishna consciousness, then it's a waste of time. And for somebody who does this, it is useless in the activities of sacrifice, charity, and penance are really useless in this life and in the next also. So, in a way, we're getting to the end, a summary of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. All the arguments for this have already been made several times by Krishna in many different ways. So, one thing is that we should ask ourselves, is Krishna right? is it really true that any sacrifice or charity or austerity that we do for some lesser reason than service of the Supreme, is it really useless, abominable, stupid, whatever, foolish, in this life and the next? And the Bhagavad Gita has been arguing that this is there. Because, first of all, you may say, well, sacrifice, you know, you come to the Hare Krishna temple and you see a sacrifice. But actually, sacrifice means you do something for the sake of something else. And so actually, everyone has to perform some kind of sacrifice. You may try to get away with it, but somehow or other, you work, the government takes some of your pay as taxation, so you're making it as a sacrifice. You're forced to do it, but you have to sacrifice. If you're parents and have children, you have to sacrifice for your children. You have to do some work and the result goes to them, not to you. So everyone really is forced to work for the benefit of somebody else and to give the fruits of their labor to somebody else, willingly or unwillingly. You simply have to do it. So everyone's doing a sacrifice anyway. And giving things to others, it's really hard to avoid that too. You may try, but it goes on in different ways. And penance also. Yeah. To get up and work in the morning is a kind of austerity. Even that is there. It's always there. You try to live without these things, it's pretty hard. So everyone does them one way or another. But usually we do these things expecting, you know, our own benefit or the benefit of something in the material world. But in the end, sometimes we even sacrifice the present for our future. For example, when we get a good education, we go to school. So now we're living some austerity. We have to study and. Maybe as students we're not very rich, but we think that later on we'll be benefited. We're performing austerity, but it's for our future benefit. And so most of the things we do, we think we'll enjoy the results. And to perform any kind of goal-directed activity, we have to have some kind of faith that it's worthwhile. Sometimes when we speak about in the connection of Krishna consciousness this word shraddha, people think, oh yeah, that's you guys, your religion, you have faith, but we're scientists, you know, we have knowledge. It's a different kind of a thing. You just have belief that something may be true, but we have facts. But actually, there's in any process of knowledge or any activity of any kind, there's some faith. Because if you want to get an education, you have faith that it's worth your while, that you'll get some benefit in the future, that it won't be disappointed. And then sometimes when people go to school for a long time and then the economy is bad and they can't get a job, they say, oh, I misplaced my faith. I didn't get the result I wanted. So everything requires faith. Or you go to a university, you take a science course, and so this is where they have knowledge and not faith. But of course, you walk into a room, and there's a gentleman you've never seen before in your life, and you sit down and you open your notebook, and whatever he says, you believe on faith. Maybe he's talking about very metaphysical things like electrons, protons, and neutrons, which nobody, of course, has ever seen. And in fact, they'll tell you they are unseeable. In principle, they're invisible. They're theoretical entities. But nevertheless, the whole science is about electrons, protons, and neutrons. And you believe him. And you write it down. And you have faith. But suppose you're a doubter in the science class. You're a doubter. You know, you're telling us all these things about these little beings, these electrons, protons, and neutrons, and you're talking about nucleuses and orbits and covalent bonds, and all this is very mysterious. And you say, actually, these things are so tiny, they really can't be, they're not things, they're something else. But nevertheless, you know, we use them. How do you know that they're true? And he said, you know, this is not the Hare Krishna temple. This is a university. We have experiments to prove that they're true. Yeah, people have done it. And these are experiments that any, you know, we're democratic. It's not like some mystical thing that, you know, you can do that experiment. Oh, I can? Can I do it? Well, yes, you can. Okay, let's go do it. No, well, wait. The experiences are very complicated and sophisticated. And first you have to understand the science. So after 7 years of study, at least, then maybe you can do the experiment. You mean for 7 years I have to wait to actually prove it? Well, it's very complicated. You have to understand. You have to use that equipment is very delicate, you know. You have to understand all you see is dials and meter readings and little flashes of light. You have to understand what these mean. So you have to have faith. Then you can do the experiment. Well, I'll tell you, if you chant Hare Krishna in the right way for 7 years, you'll be convinced that you'll see for yourself. That the super, at least the super soul is there in your heart. Or you could say, I know some people that chanted Hare Krishna for some years, and they say they didn't say anything. Well, we have to look, how did they do it? After all, you have to do it the right way. Just like, you know, when I had some chemistry once. And they at the end of the course, they give you a little test tube full of some clear liquid, and they say there's some ions dissolved in that liquid, and now you're going to do some chemistry, and at the end you're going to be able to tell what it is, because at the end of the experiment you'll see that something blue come out of the clear liquid and fall at the bottom of the test tube, and then you'll know that there's some copper ions in there. Now it's clear, but the blue flakes will come dropping out. I remember this very well, doing it. And the whole complex, you know, 40 steps or something, you know. And you take this and you add this and you shake it up and you do this and do that. And then at the very end, you know, the last thing you pour in, you should see this blue come out. I did it, no blue. Didn't happen. So the teacher didn't say, well, you know, we made a mistake about that. They said, do it again. But this time, make sure you clean all your test tubes very well. So I cleaned my test tubes very well, had it really, really clean. And sure enough, the second time, there they came, the end of blue little flakes came floating out of the clear water, looked like clear liquid. Well, same thing about chanting Hare Krishna. If you want it to work, you have to do certain things right. It'll work. So I say we're science. This is spiritual science. And so you may say, well, yeah, but is it worthwhile? Not only do we say it is worthwhile, but it's the only thing that's worthwhile. Why is that? Because, I tell you personally, this is one of the reasons that I was attracted to Krishna consciousness, because after a while, I was in Irish university, postgraduate work, and I was discovering that to do anything well in this world, you have to work really, really, really hard. Because you can see, you're getting trained, and somebody, you want to be a really good scholar, you really have to read lots and lots of books with great attention, and then write something, and do it correctly. It's hard work. And actually, in this world, to do anything well, it requires hard work. The discouraging thing was all that hard work, and then whatever you get is temporary. Very discouraging. People work all their lives as a scholar. They produce some brilliant work. A book is printed. And 15 years later, everybody's forgotten. There are new books, new scholars. It's gone. Disappears. And you can look at the history of the human race. All the work, gone. How hard did the Romans work to make their empire? Oh, my God. Unbelievable. So much work and so much suffering to make this big empire. Gone. Some ruins. Some people try to become famous in history to do some really big thing. They want to become a Napoleon or something. They want their names in the history book. What is that name used now? Just to torture school children. They're gone, you're dead, there's no benefit. So Prabhupada pointed out that people want to be successful in this world, they're working very hard. So a man, say he's a businessman, he wants to have a really nice house for his wife and his children, and he wants to have he wants to marry a woman who's cultured and not too smart, but pretty smart, good looking, and of course for that you need to have money. So he works for money, and of course he has to put his very nice wife in a very nice house. So that also costs very money. And then he has children. He wants them to be perfect, nice children. And so then they require also special education, classes, and horseback riding, ballet dancing, all these things cost a fortune. So to keep all this going, to keep up his reputation, of course, he also has to look good, and he has to spend money on physical fitness and exercise that'll keep him fit, and of course he has to pay for his enviable automobile that he must have. So he works very hard to maintain his family, and he's working so hard, he's never at home. Once in a while, he gets to come home. And then when he's so worried about his business, he can't even relax and enjoy it. So what is he enjoying? Prabhupada says, a little mental happiness. Oh, I have a nice wife. I have a nice family. Oh, I am successful. But meanwhile, he's suffering all the time, right? Just for that little mental happiness. So this is the misplaced faith, that in this material world, we can actually achieve something that's... Because what do we really want? What do we really want? Look, here's what happens in the material world. We put our senses into contact with the sense objects, and we feel some pleasure. Then, after a while, that contact breaks, and our pleasure stops. It comes to an end. So, when our pleasure comes to an end, how do we feel? Well, we feel sad, upset, maybe even crying. You know, maybe the candy bar is over and then I'm upset a little bit, and maybe the love of my life has run off with another man. Then But in any case, when our pleasure comes to an end, we feel bad. Well, why do we feel bad? Whatever kind of pleasure is when it's done, why do we feel bad? You can take a survey. Why do you feel bad? Everyone will say, because I wanted it to keep on going. So the next question is, okay, and how long did you want it to keep on going? Well, how long can I have? Forever? So actually our desire is for some kind of happiness or pleasure that never comes to an end. We're looking for it in a place where everything comes to an end. QED, there is no happiness in the material world. Just because it's an incompatible situation. What we want is eternal happiness that never comes to an end, and we're trying to get it in a place where everything comes to an end. Incompatible situation. Why do we want pleasure that never comes to an end? Well, the true reason is because we're eternal, and therefore we want eternal happiness. And we'll always be satisfied. And most of the time, we are spending our time building up structures of illusion so we can keep on going in this world. We are going to pretend we're not, we're going to think. You know, for example, in America, they have baseball players they call the immortals. They're all dead. But they're called the immortals. They died a long time ago. But we're thinking like that. That we have these substitutes. Well, oh yeah, I'm going to die, but sometimes if I have children who are little replicas of myself, then I go on in that way. We have these different immortality projects. But they're all illusions. And old age comes, disease comes to everybody. But we have industries that foster this illusion, that keep it going. You know, the romantic movie, the boy meets girl, that's cute, You know, as they say in Hollywood, they meet cute. Boy meets girl. Some boy loses girl. Somehow they're separated, you know. There's some strife, some struggle. And then, again, they're together. And then they go off. The music comes up. The sun is rising. And, everybody feels so good. And you think they live, as the story always is, happily ever after. Right? Keep the camera going. Just keep it going. Don't stop there. So this is how we edit reality to sustain our illusions. So we should face the fact it's like Buddha said, the first of his noble truth, life is suffering. That's as simple as that. The material life in the material world is suffering. And we believe people don't notice. Krishna has to mention in the pages of Bhagavad Gita that of the items of knowledge is jara, mrityu, what is it? Jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosa. Huh?
Jara, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosa, darshana.
Knowledge of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. That's knowledge. You have to say it's knowledge. You have to know that. Why do you have to say it? Because some people don't know it. They're editing it out of their plans. So this is what we have to come to terms that there. The reason is because people think, well, that's, you know, this world is all there is. Why be so pessimistic? Well, it's just realism, that's all. And Prabhupada points out, if we don't recognize these evils, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease, we don't recognize these miseries, then there's no impetus, nothing to prompt us into spiritual life. But something can be done about it. Because death is an illusion we have imposed upon ourselves due to this desire to enjoy in this world. So that's why we have to become free from this illusion. We don't know who we are. The basic problem to start with is this false identification of the self with the material body. So therefore, any process of transcendentalism, is first truth is aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. And the corollary is, I'm not matter, that I'm not this body. I'm not this body. People find that hard to believe because we identify ourselves with the material body. It's a very deep identification. And in fact, we have to do something to become free from it. It's not just enough that I have the correct belief. Oh, I'm a Hare Krishna. I believe I'm not this body. But then, you know, I fall down and cut my hand. Ah, look at my hand. I'm hurt, you know. Well, I just can't have the theory. I'm not the body. I have to experience myself. That's because the identification of the self with the material body happens on a very deep level. And the reason is that it brings about is actually because of trying to enjoy in the world, because of sense gratification. That's Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says in the fifth chapter, Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukkha. Something's happened to me. I can't remember verses today. Dukkha dosana darshanam. Yeah, the literal meaning of this is that those pleasures which arise samsparsaja bhoga, yeah, that's samsparsaja. Sparsha means touch, and here it means the touch of the senses with the objects. Those samsparsaja, those pleasures which are born out of the from the contact between the senses and the objects. Yehi samsparsaja bhoga. Bhoga means enjoyments. We bring the senses into contact with the objects, we feel pleasure. And then we think, oh, well, that's the answer. We just have to keep doing this, bringing the senses in, and that's the path to happiness. But Krishna says they are, in fact, the source of all suffering. In other words, the world is just the opposite from what we think it is. We think we bring the senses into contact with the object to feel pleasure, everything will be fine. He says, the source of all suffering. And the reason is that taking pleasure in the senses increases our identification of the self with the material body. And therefore, that's why in our Krishna consciousness movement we follow regular principles, not because we like suffering, not because we want to punish ourselves for our sins or anything like that, because this is the way to actually find happiness. It's just the opposite of what people think. And if thousands and thousands and thousands of people follow this, and it works. They can begin, the consciousness becomes clear, the modes of passion and ignorance decrease, they start to actually experience in themselves as a spiritual being. This is what Prabhupada calls self-realization. When you say, as he says, human life is meant for self-realization, right? And then he said, and not sense gratification, because these two things are opposite, self-realization and sense gratification. I can't change it. Nobody can change it. It's a law of nature. You know, say you have a scale, you know, the old-fashioned kind of pan balance. If you go to India and you buy bananas, they'll put a bananas here and some weights here, you know, they like that. The scale of justice, you know, this kind of thing. So if on my right side is self-realization, knowledge of the self, knowledge of the super self, this side is sense gratification. When sense gratification goes up, self-realization goes down. When self-realization goes up, sense gratification goes down. This is just a law of nature. Right? This we're both going together doesn't happen. Sorry. Because, of course, many people would really, you know, somehow I can do this, but the one erases the other. You know, it's the inverse proportion, if you like, mathematical language. They're inversely proportional. So, self-real, but then, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, when one gains this spiritual knowledge, you think, wow, there's nothing better than this. If I thought it was difficult, it was certainly worth it. It's the most valuable thing you can have. Because really, once we have a firm sense of ourselves as a spiritual being, all the problems of material existence are gone because they do not apply to me. And not only that, but there's knowledge of the existence of the Lord. The word for soul in Sanskrit is atma. But that's also the reflexive pronoun. It means self. I am the soul. And the symptom of the soul is consciousness. I am that consciousness. It's not that I'm a body and I have a soul. I am a soul. Right now, I'm encased with this body, and I falsely identify with it. So I think, you know, that this is me. The designations, male, female, old, young, and so on. This is about me. It's not. I can live without my body. Of course, if I think I'm the body, then that sounds contradictory. But we live without the body. So the thing about, now, one thing about the fact is, by the way, you should notice that in the modern world there's a tendency by many people to say that consciousness does not exist. They do. Like people who want to say that we are just machines. And a machine means that you can completely describe in terms of numbers. Like the little recorder there, that's a machine. And that recorder can be completely described in terms of numbers. Ultimately, a string of ones and zeros. Using binary numbers is one. And you can exhaustively describe it in terms of numbers. Similarly, we're machines, a little more complicated, of course, but eventually we'll be able to describe it entirely in terms of numbers. And consciousness is some kind of an illusion that's created by the machine. It's a fiction. But actually, the consciousness itself is the person. And if you consider that this consciousness is not. Not only do I experience consciousness, but it is the condition for my having any experiences at all. This machine is hearing right now, or at least it's recording sound, but there's nobody at home. It's not conscious. My ears are little machines recording sound also, registering things, but I'm hearing. I'm a consciousness. So therefore I'm not just an object in the world, that I undergo experiences. I'm also a subject. I have significance for myself. So that consciousness is fundamental. And the interesting thing is about my existence as a conscious being, I can't doubt it. Because if I did, who's doubting? This was you know, Descartes' famous cogito ergo sum. He was going to doubt everything that could be doubted. Maybe this world is just that some evil demon is projecting it on my eyeballs, you know, anticipating the movie The Matrix by many centuries. Some evil demon is deceiving me and the world isn't really here. But what he can't doubt is that he's doubting. So he's, because he's looking for some truth that, that's, you can't doubt. So you can't doubt your own existence as a conscious being. So we know ourselves without any doubt, our own existence without any doubt. So that's Atma. Now Krishna is Param Atma. He's also Atma. That means he's the self of the self. That means that when we start to get to know Krishna by direct experience, it's something like knowing ourselves. Once you have a little bit of that experience, you have no doubt. You can't. You can't imagine God's not existing any more than you can imagine your own thinking, I don't exist. You can't think that God doesn't exist. And this is not super advanced spiritual knowledge. It's just the beginning of super soul realization. But it's realization. Realization means you have experience. In Sanskrit, there's two words, jnana, really, if you pronounce it correctly, we say jnani because we're speaking like Bengalis or Hindis, but it's jnana. I've been told by people who study Sanskrit, jnana and vijnana, knowledge, and then there's a word with a jnana with a vi in front. Jnana vijnana astikyam, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita. So the vi is like a kind of all-purpose intensifier in Sanskrit. You know, karma is bondage, but vijnana, vikarma is really heavy bondage or bad karma. So vijnana. So jnana means knowledge. But vijnana means knowledge that you have by direct experience. And so that's how it's translated by the word science. So this is science. You have direct perception of the self by this knowledge. So if we do our activities of this life so that we can gain this spiritual perception, we will really solve the problems of existence that face us. We will actually be able to deal with the problems of birth, death, old age, and disease. Right now, people just pretend they don't exist or they think they'll be done in the future. I once had a young college girl come to interview me for some paper she was doing, and I trying to explain the basics of Krishna consciousness. And she didn't think that death was a problem for her. She thought she wasn't going to die. Well, you have to be really young to think that, I suppose. But or there's in psychiatry, in psychology, there's a term for this, narcissism. I'm so wonderful that nothing bad can happen to me. Anyway, and she said, when I get old enough for it to be a problem, they will have solved it. That's what she thought. Yeah. So people, they don't, they just pretend it's not there. You know. the people are in denial a lot. We can deal with these problems and actually solve them. Another way most people deal with the problems is by making themselves less conscious. There are whole industries to destroy consciousness. Alcohol, drugs, television, a number of things, gambling, all to make you less conscious. That's no way to live either. So this is the only thing worth doing. This is the case that Krishna is saying here. If it's asat. If anything that we do that's not really dedicated to this goal is asat in all senses of the term, false, abominable, impermanent, useless, all these things. That's also the message of this 17th chapter, as Prabhupada said. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
Well, recently I was in the Congress on Science and Aesthetic in Luzern, in Switzerland.
I'm sorry?
I was attending to a Congress on Science and Aesthetic in Luzern, Switzerland. And was this big Penrose, Roger Penrose. He's the new Einstein today on the planet. And he was surrounded by other scientists. And some of them, they were speaking about consciousness evolution. Consciousness evolution. So I was just was wondering what kind of consciousness evolution they're speaking about. But they speak about consciousness. But I was doing a comparative study, like we are studying consciousness in Bhagavad Gita, what is a real consciousness, spiritual consciousness. And I was trying to ask them if in the next 10 years they could make a new step forward to attain the divine consciousness.
You asked them that?
Yeah, I was asking them if it would be possible to make a divine combination between the material consciousness and the divine consciousness. It was seeming difficult for them to accept to make a new step forward, that to transcend the boundaries of material consciousness with the quantum physics or mathematics.
Yeah, etc. Sure.
It seems for them to be so difficult to make this new step and to accept, yes, there is an...
They should try our method. At least the Bhagavad Gita, that knowledge, that is to say, real knowledge, depends upon sattva. If you want to see higher consciousness, then first step is you learn what is tamagun, the mode of ignorance, rajagun, mode of passion, and sattagun, mode of goodness. Right? You learn those three modes. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. And how to identify them. Like if I look at my own consciousness, I can tell what is mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. And then I also have instructions how to decrease. How to decrease ignorance and passion. Then the consciousness becomes more and more situated in sattva. And then it opens up. Now, they want to discuss the advancement of consciousness while drinking martinis and eating beef. Good luck. This is the method. There's an experiment you can do with yourself. This is the experiment. The people don't know that knowledge depends upon sattva. But if you take it as hypothesis, you do like this. We don't have any Brahmanas are people who are supposed to be mostly in the mode, pretty much in the mode of goodness. We don't have them. We don't even have kshatriyas, actually. As Prabhupada said to the reporters in New York, in your society, everyone is a shudra, and there are a few vaishyas. That's what he said. And there's a conspiracy theory for you. Huh? It's probably true. Yeah, so this is another way. But Prabhupada was serious about these scientists because very early on he went to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge, Massachusetts, you know, next door to Harvard. It's the biggest engineering university in America, one of the biggest now, MIT. And he asked them, why you have so many departments of knowledge, why don't you have a department of the soul? They must have thought he was out of his mind, you know. But he was very serious that they should have this department for the study of the soul. Because it's a science. In the sense, you do this and you do this, so we can give you instructions. If something goes wrong, we can tell you, look over what's happened and make corrections, and you'll see the result. But they are very interested in consciousness because it's a mystery. In the world where everything can be described in terms of numbers, consciousness doesn't fit. They want to figure it out somehow or other. But it won't go away because it's very hard to deny that you are conscious. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Yeah.